Jesus brings rain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're on your feet, going to give the opportunity to greet those around about you and give. One of the ushers will stand in the back with the offering plate, and as you make your way around greeting one another, please make your way around to give unto the Lord and worship with your wallet as we sing some more unto Him. Your name, I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hand, gonna bow myself, I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. I'm gonna lift you up, I'm gonna bless your name, I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hand, I'm gonna bow myself, I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. You brought me this far. Over mountains and through valleys, I'm overwhelmed. I gotta celebrate your mercy. I'm gonna lift you up, I'm gonna bless your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hand, I'm gonna bow myself, I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. I'm gonna lift you up, I'm gonna bless your name. Celebrate your mercy. I'm gonna lift you up. I'm gonna bless your name. I'm gonna lift you up because you're worthy to be praised. I'm gonna raise my hands. I'm gonna bow myself. I'm gonna do my dance because you're worthy. I can't say loud enough. I can't say strong enough. I can't say big enough. Lord, you're worthy. I can't say loud enough. I can't say strong enough. Standing, you may be seated. I do want to make you aware of a few things. Way of announcement. Many of you know, at the end of this month, we are the fifth Sunday, which is October 30th. We are taking opportunity on that Sunday night, which would normally be a faith and family night, and we are going to use that time to set up for the harvest party that is happening on Monday the 31st from 5 to 7 here at the church. One thing that I neglected to do and announce, and so I'm getting kind of a late start on it, but I know that you're good to respond in this sense. We need candy. It would be a bad thing for us to have a harvest party and not have any candy. And so we need each family to bring a couple bags of individually wrapped candy, and then there will be those that will be here on that Sunday night. Hopefully anybody and everybody that can come will be here to help set up and get things prepared for the harvest party. And part of that setup will be putting all the candies and we make up little bags with some church information on it. And so we need all the candy here before that. So that we can put it into the bags and make sure that it is in the style and fashion that we want to give out. And so that's always a big deal. I know that throughout the community, when I'm around and people see me in the month of October, I'll get asked usually numerous times in the month of October, "You guys doing the soup and stuff this year?" And I say, "Oh yeah, we'll be there. We'll have the soup on. We'll have things ready." And so we invite them up. You know, obviously invite them to come and be a part of that. So people in the community expect us to have it, and we want to have it, have an opportunity for them to come and be a part of it. There will be some ladies headed out this Friday, going to the ladies' conference Friday and Saturday. We have about 8 ladies here from this local assembly that are going to be going, and I know that they would cover your prayers concerning traveling to Effingham and being there in the conference. And then on Sunday, men, it is... it is our opportunity to be good winners, or losers rather, and bless the women folk with a meal. And so if you have yet to see Brother Jay and you are a man, then you need to see him and find out how you can help and what you can do in preparation for the lunch on Sunday. And I know it's going to be a good time. It's going to be good fellowship. And yes, we are. We're eating a little crow, I guess, if you will, as men and serving. And somebody put on Facebook that the women always serve the men. I don't know that that's always the case, but we will do our part, and we will keep our end of the bargain and make sure that we serve you, and may even wear the silly hats and all. Maybe. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. If you have a prayer request and you would like to bring that to the church, we're going to give you an opportunity. Sister Dean. Certainly. Just kill him. All right. All right. All right. Certainly. Certainly. Sister Angie. Certainly. Certainly. Sure. Reverend Regina, prayer. Sister Christie, so yeah. Certainly. All right. All right. Sister Grimm? All right. Certainly. Sister Doris? All right. All right. Certainly. Remember Keith Atkins in prayer. All right. Why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord right now in prayer. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we have this opportunity to come before you in prayer. Bring these needs, these names, our loved ones near and dear to our hearts, situations and circumstances, Lord, which we ultimately know, God, you control. Lord, that they are in your hands, God, whether dealing with the loss of loved ones, God, or, Lord, endeavoring to see truth, God, in the midst of a world of lies. God, I pray, God, that you would open our eyes to see, God. Help us to discern, God. Help us, Lord, to be followers of you, God, of your kingdom. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you, God, that we have opportunity to come together, God, to express our concerns, God, to bring our prayer requests before you, to pray on behalf of these needs, these situations and circumstances. Lord, you're able to heal, able to raise up, to strengthen, to encourage, God, whatever the situation is, Lord, we know that we can come to you and trust in you, God, to work and to move. God, use us as ministers, as vessels of your choosing to pour out upon people, God, your love and your help, your strength, your power, God, and we would be channels of faith, God, believing and trusting in your power to heal. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God. We lift you up and praise your precious name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Why don't you applaud the Lord? He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study, discerning good and evil. Last week, we talked about, the title was The Good Book. We talked about the Bible and why it is the good book and how that it is our source of revealed knowledge for being able to discern between good and evil. We talked about the Bible being infallible and being inerrant. We talked about how that even science and statistics and probabilities would, even from the mind of a skeptic, would to show us. Now, we operate in faith. We believe in the Word of God by faith. None of us were there at creation, but we believe that when God said, let there be light, that light, or the fundamental building block of all matter, came into existence. We believe that the Word of God, the good book, is the book that we should live our lives by. The principles and the precepts of the Word of God guide us, help us to understand and to discern between good and evil. And tonight I want to look at a passage in the good book. I want to look at an event, if you will, detailed in Scripture that we would be remiss if we talked about good and evil and we did not look at this passage of Scripture. We did not survey this story and what transpired between Jesus and this man. Some of you may already have an idea as to where we may be going in the Word of God, in the good book, to talk about the discerning between good and evil. And I want to draw your attention to Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. And when he being Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he, the man, answered and said unto him, master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing that thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And he, the man, was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. This is a
passages of Scripture, some headings in the Bible talk about the rich young ruler. One of the other Gospels identifies him as a rich young ruler. He was wealthy and obviously influential. He was rich and he was a ruler. And so this man comes to Jesus, and he comes in a particular way. And I want to go throughout this passage kind of verse by verse and look at this passage so that it helps us to understand that sometimes what we may perceive to be good, and sometimes we even may call people good, and sometimes we may, according to someone's behavior, say that's a good person. And I understand the intent behind that. I understand the motive. We see goodness, or we see examples of goodness displayed in their life. We see them doing something or behaving in such a way that we would term, or we would say, that's good. They did good. They are good. I'm not trying to contradict that. I just want us to understand that here in this passage, we have someone that by, let's just face it, by the estimates of the world, he would be considered a good guy. A good guy. And so I want to look at this passage and maybe help us to understand how that you and I can discern between good and evil. Those individuals that may seem on the surface as being good, or they may even have good attributes, or they may have certain good behaviors about their life, but just because someone may manifest attributes of goodness or have behavior that is, in our estimation, good, does not mean that that person is a good person. All right? And so maybe throughout the course of this study tonight, we would have a little better understanding, and maybe God can open our minds and our hearts to understand that even where it concerns me, I may consider myself to be a good person, but maybe there's some parts and pieces of me that need to change. Maybe God can help me through this word discern that maybe there's some evil in me. Maybe there's some parts of me that I really need to let the Master look into my life and help me. And maybe I need to make some crucial decisions that really determine whether I am going to be good. All right? So let's look at this passage of Scripture. First thing, I just saw this graphic and I wanted to do it because it's kind of cool, but because it's in the cross and it says God is good. And one thing we have to understand, And I know I've harped on this from the beginning, and I want to. It's probably something I'm gonna continue to say every session. God is good. God is good. No matter what this world may try to portray as being good or being right or being beneficial, God is good. It's God. God is good. Now let's think about this in context of this passage. The Bible says, and when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And one thing I want to bring out in this particular verse is this. He came running and kneeled, asking him, good master. Understand this man's approach. He didn't come arrogantly. He didn't come with this big entourage as he was something special. He didn't come and condescendingly reference Jesus. The Bible says he came running. Somehow, some way, this Jesus was pointed out to him. He'd evidently heard about Jesus and his exploits and his teachings. And so this man wanted an audience with Jesus. And he wasn't trying to use his wealth or influence. He wasn't coming in a pompous manner. The Bible says he running came and he kneeled, or he bowed himself before Jesus. There was sincerity and humility. They were obvious in his approach. He wasn't coming with pride. He was coming in humility. And he references Jesus, good master. Good, it's a term of endearment. It's good master. In other words, you are someone that I want to talk to. You good master, good teacher. What you have to say is good, and who you are is good. And so he comes, and in humility and sincerity, he says, good master. It's a sincere question. He's not trying to find loopholes. He wants to know, what shall I do to inherit eternal life, good master? You have the answers, and I have the question. So I bring my question to you, and hopefully you will give me an answer. And the first thing that Jesus says unto him is, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. There is no good without God. Think about what Jesus is saying. He says, good master. And Jesus' reply is, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. In other words, there is no good without God. All goodness originates from God. Now, make no mistake, Jesus was not denying his own goodness, but rather identifying from where the goodness originates. He's not denying that he's good. He's saying, listen, do you even understand what you're saying? Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. Listen, you need to understand all goodness originates from God. We've talked about that from the very beginning. If it is good, it must originate with God. And I know we use the term loosely, and I know we talk about being things good, that things being good that really have no affiliation or attachment to God. But we need to understand the basis of this dialogue between Jesus and this rich young ruler is there is none good but God. And you're gonna see this a little later on. You're going to understand why Jesus makes this initial statement. Because when Jesus brings it full circle into this young man's life, some reality creeps in. Some understanding sweeps over him. Jesus brings it out. He makes very poignant statements to this young man. And we'll see how that Jesus is once again reiterating, there is none good but God. And then Jesus says this, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Anybody see anything special about these commandments? That is exactly right. Sister Kirstie said they're all about the horizontal relationship. They're all about our relationship with our fellow man. These are just 6 of the 10. And if you read the first 6, you'll understand that those are not the first 6, but the 6, there's 6 of the commandments which deal directly with our relationship to other people. Now this is important because it's important to understand that Jesus is identifying that he has goodness. Jesus is saying, know the commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, you shall not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. These 6 commandments have to deal with this man's relationship with others. Has to do with his goodness towards other people. But there are 4 other commandments Jesus doesn't address yet. There's 4 other commandments. Why did Jesus leave out, or why did Jesus not address them at this particular point? Jesus just deals with the 6 that have to do with this man's relationship with other people. He's just dealing with that horizontal relationship, this man and others. He's just dealing with how this man is in his daily living, if you will, his association with other people. And he's telling him, you know these commandments. And then look at the response of the man. And the man answered and said unto him, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. I've done these. I've observed these. I've been obedient to these things. I have fulfilled. I've kept up with these commandments. I've done these things. In essence, he's saying, I've done all these. I'm a good guy. I've done all these from my youth. These commandments that you just said. I came to you asking what I can do to inherit eternal life, and you're telling me no, the commandments. And you give me the commandments, and I say I've done all these from my youth. I'm a good guy. When it comes to my relationship with other people, I've done good. I'm a good fella. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. There's goodness, yes. There's goodness in you. Yes, you've kept these things from your youth. Yes, you've observed these things. Yes, you've been good in your relationship to others, but there's an area of evil in your life. Something that you lack. Look at this. Jesus quickly discerns the good and evil in the heart of this man. He's not saying there's not good present. Yes, there is good present in this man, but there's also evil present. This man doesn't even realize it at this point, but Jesus is bringing it full circle. Jesus, remember, he said initially, there is none good but God. And though this man has observed all these commandments, the six dealing with his relationship with others, and he's observed them from his youth, Jesus, the Bible says, beholding him or looking upon him, loved him. I almost wonder, the wording there is almost as if Jesus reached for him affectionately. Almost as if he, maybe, I don't know, the Bible doesn't specifically say, we don't know what Jesus did exactly. We don't know if he put his hands around his face. We don't know what he did, but something, the Bible says that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said, one thing that lackest, go thy way, so whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. But catch this. The love of Jesus doesn't broaden the scope of goodness to accommodate what this man lacks. This is important. Nor is the evil accepted because some good exists. Catch it. Jesus' love is such, oh yes, he loves him. Oh yes, he wants him to make the right decision. Oh yes, Jesus has brought him to that crossroad. Jesus has brought him to that place where he recognizes, wait a second, while there is goodness in you, there is also evil. While you have done good things in relation to other people, you haven't defrauded, you haven't committed adultery, you haven't stealed, you haven't stolen, you haven't killed, you haven't coveted, you haven't done those things. But you lack something. There's evil that exists in your heart. I love you, and I love you enough to tell you. I love you enough not to broaden the scope of what goodness is just to accept the evil that exists in your heart. This is huge. I love you enough to show you that you've got to discern between good and evil. And while there is goodness in your heart, there is also evil. And if you're truly going to follow me, you're at a crossroad. Jesus, in his love, brings this man to the crossroad. He came and he wanted, sincerely and in humility, he wanted to know the answer. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? How can I walk with you? How can I inherit eternal life? How can I have what you have? And Jesus brings him to the place. Okay, you really want to know the answer to that question? You really want to know? Well, first of all, there's some stuff we got to deal with. There's some evil that exists. And yes, there's goodness, but there's also evil. Yes, you've done well in reference to your relationship with others, but there's something you haven't done well in. One thing that thou lackest. You see, the other four commandments deal with his relationship to God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not have any graven image, make any idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God's name in vain, and you to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. All these do with your relationship with God. And there's something that you failed in. There's something that you now worship more than God. There is something in your life that you have set up. There's something that in your life that you have made an idol. And so this is what you have to do. In order to get rid of the evil, you have to go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He comes to Jesus. He wants to know what he can do to inherit eternal life. He's sincere and he's humble. He's eager to know. He's eager to have this question answered. He runs and he kneels. Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus gives him commandments. He says, all these I've observed from my youth. I'm a good guy. I do good things in reference to other people. I don't defraud. I don't steal. I don't kill. I don't commit adultery. I don't covet. I'm a good guy. But the love of Jesus is such that it reveals where he's not good. The love of Jesus is such that it discerns between good and evil and says, but you're lacking something. In your relationship to others, you're good. But in your relationship to God, you're not. You have set something in your life above God. And in order for you to take down that idol, in order for you to destroy what has given you your worth and your identity, you got to tear it down. You got to rid yourself of the evil that exists in your heart. So you got to go, take all that you have, sell it, and give to the poor. And come, take up your cross, and follow me. And the Bible says that he went away sad. Went away sad. He came eager to understand, but he went away sad. Jesus reveals the evil that exists in regards to this man's having other gods before God. Folks, make no mistake, that's sometimes what happens when people come in and they come in contact with the presence of God. And the love of God is such, catch this, that the love of God will reveal. The love of God will look into the heart and reveal there's evil there. Things need to change. Now let's talk about this, because this is really the crux of where I want to go. This man came eager, then afterward left grieved. He came wanting, desirous. He came in sincerity and humility. And we, on the surface, we think, well, it shouldn't be that way. They should come grieved and leave happy. They should come sad and depressed and downtrodden. And they should leave uplifted and strengthened. And wait a second. He came eager. Now he leaves sad. He came wanting to know, and once the knowledge is presented, now he's not so happy anymore. Aren't we supposed to bring a positive message to seekers for eternal life, lifting them up and making them feel good about their lives? Hello. Boy, does that fly in the face of a lot of what is preached nowadays. I'm sorry, prosperity preachers, how do you get around this passage of Scripture? How do you, and here's the thing, there's a lot of Scriptures that talk about how that God will reward, and that God will bless, and that when you give to the poor, you're lending, and God will repay. And even Old Testament scriptures, it have to do with giving unto God and how that's going to be repaid. And Jesus could have stopped this, and he could have said, hey, don't you understand those scriptures that tell you if you give, then God's going to give back? Why did Jesus not tell this man? Why did he not remind him of the blessings that he would get should he give? Because Jesus is dealing with a heart issue. And if this man was going to give in accordance with what he was going to get, guess what? That's not goodness. And so Jesus is dealing with the issue of his heart. And I just wonder if maybe some of the disciples kind of looked at Jesus with a scowl, like, what are you doing? He's wealthy and he's influential. He's a prime candidate. He wants to follow us. He's wealthy and influential. We could use the money and the influence. Come on, Jesus. Why let him walk away sad? Why let him walk away grieved? We're supposed to make him. Why don't you go back to the six that he's doing right? Focus on those for a while. Get him happy about the goodness that he's doing. Lay off that evil part. He was wealthy and influential man. Maybe we should ease up on the whole sell all that you have stuff and let him gradually embrace it all. Let's just be real for a moment. You always say we want to be like Jesus. I wonder how many pastors would be like Jesus in this scenario. Or I wonder how many pastors would have already extended him the right hand of fellowship. Come on, bub. Come on in. I know this is getting real. I know this is flies in the face of modern proselyting and converting people to our way. Come on, Jesus, ease up on the whole sell everything that you have stuff. Just tell him to sell the real expensive stuff. Tell him get rid of the Rolex. Trade in the Rolls Royce, drive a Honda. Humility wasn't his problem. What his problem was he loved money. And he loved it more than God. And Jesus revealed it. And Jesus brought it out. Jesus discerned between the good and the evil. Shouldn't we go after him? Shouldn't we soften the message and tell him that the good that he has will suffice for now? And let him follow you? Come on, Jesus. He's wealthy. He's influential. Go get him. Soften the message a little bit. Broaden the scope of what goodness is and just let the evil that he has exist for a little time, and maybe eventually he'll embrace it. Folks, this is where we have to be careful. This is where in our relationships with others, sometimes there's goodness. Sometimes there is parts and pieces of their lives that we can say, and we can readily look at them and say, that's a good person, but be careful. Be careful. Because if I can't discern between the good and the evil, and I can't understand that how many of us bring all good to the table. And I've got to be able, in my relationships with others, and most importantly in my relationship with God, first and foremost, Lord, if there's evil, if there's bad stuff in me, if there's things that I'm doing and things that I have set before you, and there's things that I'm attached to and love more than I love you, Lord Jesus, reveal those unto me. Help me get rid of that. And Lord, if there's other people in my life and relationships that I have, help me to be able to discern between the good and the evil. That doesn't mean I throw them away. That doesn't mean I don't have a relationship with them. What it means is that I'm cognizant of and I understand there may be goodness in their life, and there may be certain attributes and behaviors that I can call good, but I also better be aware that there's going to be some evil. There's going to be a crossroad. It's going to bring me to a point of decision. And good is going to go one way and evil is going to go the other. What fellowship have light with darkness, or the concord of Christ with Belial? We need to understand. This is why the Bible cautions us. And this is why the Bible tells us, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Careful of your association and your ties. Because while there may be some goodness, so-and-so has a good heart. Do they? Let's look at this passage of Scripture. Luke 6, 43, 46. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. But here's the thing. In many Bibles, there's a division. In many Bibles, there's a heading that now separates verse 45 and 46. Probably in your Bible. But you need to understand that verse 46 goes with verse number 45. You need to understand that the very next verse is really what the verses preceding it is talking about. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He came, good master. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? But then I told you. You called me Lord, Lord, good master. You came in honesty and sincerity and humility. But when I told you what needed to be done, guess what? You came to a crossroad. And while there was some goodness in your life, the strongest root in your life was not good. Catch it. He went away sad. He was grieved, for he had great possessions. Yes, there was some goodness, but guess what? That which had taken the most root in his life, and that it's obvious by his actions. Why say unto me, Lord, Lord, and then you don't do as I say? Good without following what the good God instructs in the good book is impossible. I'm going to say that again. Good without following what the good God instructs in the good book is impossible. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. You know, I don't often say stuff from a political standpoint with what's going on in our society right now. It's hard not to notice. But one of the candidates, their tagline is, "Make America Great Again." I thought to myself, we need to work on making America good. It ain't ever going to be great again until it's good. And the only way it's ever going to be good is if it gets back to God. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to sway your political view. But if you're looking for a good candidate in this race, you ain't going to find one. Lord, help me. Help me to be able to discern between good and evil. Lord, look into my heart and into my life. The Bible says, and beholding him, loved him, but said, in his love, one thing thou lackest. You might be rich and young, wealthy and influential, and I'd love to have you on board, but I can't. My goodness will not make acceptance for the evil that exists in your life. Sometimes in our walking relationship with other people, we need to come to the place where we determine the goodness in me cannot accept and will not accept the evil that is trying to be expressed. And I'm going to discern between what is good and what is evil. And I'm going to let the Lord lead me and guide me. And maybe it's going to bring me to a crossroad where I have to make some decisions. Not only concerning myself, but who I hang with, who I have relationship with. And I've got to make some determinations concerning my own walk and relationship with God. And yes, there's some good. And yes, I can have some goodness about me. But guess what? There's also going to be some parts of me that Jesus looks into and says, this has got to go. Lord, help me. Help me. We live in a society where they love for people to get up and preach and make them feel good about their lives and tickle my ears. And it's sad because they're not being taught to be able to discern between good and evil. And there's so many that are allowing evil to exist under the guise of goodness, or saying, well, there's enough goodness there that we'll just accept the evil that comes along with it. But that's not what Jesus did. And Jesus brought the man to a crossroad where you have to make a decision. If you truly want to follow me and you truly want to inherit eternal life, then you got to do some hard things. You got to do some difficult things. And sometimes some of the hardest things to do are the best things to do, because they're good and they're of God. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your scriptures, stories that reveal the way in which you work. Lord, I pray you would look in our hearts and our lives. God, let us be open and candid enough, God, to ask this young man to come and run with eagerness, God, humility and sincerity. You want to know, what is it in me that needs to change, Lord? What is it in me? God, I know there's goodness. I know that there's a lot of things that originate from you in my life, Lord, but is there some evil? Is there something, God, in me, God, that has a root, God, that doesn't originate in you? Help me, Lord, to allow you, God, to rid me of it. Are there relationships in my life, God, that while there may be parts of it that are good and there might be things that make me feel well, Lord, but is it good for me? Lord, lead and guide my thought, my heart, God, to follow your will in your way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.